spring has just come around as September has rolled into this part of the year, and it allows a bit of time for us Sydney-siders to reflect on the winter that has happily moved on. Although at times it may have felt cold, Australia's winter this year, in fact, had the highest average daytime temperatures on record and was also the driest winter in 15 years, setting up us for another early bushfire season. Well, joining us to discuss Australia's warmest winter and whether this is the work of climate change is Dr. Andrew King, a climate extremes research fellow at the University of Melbourne. Welcome on the program, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
So some people might have been excited by the prospect of a warmer winter, but what are some of the risks presented by winters like this seen this year?
Well, as you were saying, it was quite a lot warmer and drier than average. And that's not very good, obviously, for the farmers who are already experiencing difficult conditions across much of Southeast Australia and the Southwest especially. And also, as you were saying, it does set us up for a bad bushfire season. It means it's harder to prepare and do prescribed burn-offs. And it also means just that the ground is very dry, the scrubland is very dry, and it just means that we're more at risk of early bushfires than in a normal spring.
Is climate change linked to Australia's trend of warmer winters, or is it just a coincidence?
Oh, there's a very clear trend, and we can link that trend to climate change. So I ran some analysis, in fact, looking at the warm temperatures across Australia, and I found that it was at least 60 times more likely because of climate change that we were getting those temperatures. So it's a very, very clear human fingerprint on this warm winter we've just had.
Now, I want to touch on this idea of the human effect, because this seems to be an area where the science is still being debated, very much so in the halls of power of Canberra and even in Martin Place in New South Wales and our state parliament. Why is it that despite a large and broad consensus on the issue amongst the scientific community, there's still this debate going on in the public sphere?
That's a very good question. Well, firstly, just to reiterate what you were saying, there is a very, very clear consensus among scientists, the experts in the field. We are all in agreement that climate change is showing its hand in these kinds of extreme events. Why that's not being translated well through to the public and to politicians is a very good question. To be honest, I don't think it's a failure on our part. I think we're quite clear, the scientific community as a whole. I think there's a number of reasons. It's because it poses very difficult problems in terms of how to tackle this issue, I think. And it just means that because it's challenging the way we live and our dependence on greenhouse gas intensive fuel sources, one of the easy ways out is to deny that there's a problem in the first place, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Now, a bushfire season is predicted to start earlier this year and even predicted to be more intense. Will this continue to get worse if climate change accelerates? And are there other phenomena that could become other kind of weather phenomena that could become more common in Australia if the trajectory around climate change continues?
So we're definitely expecting this warming trend to continue, and to a lesser degree, the drying trend as well. We expect the southern half of Australia to get drier during winter over the next few decades, and that does mean that we're going to have more bushfire weather earlier on in the season. So we're going to start likely seeing bushfire weather days already in August, September time, whereas it used to be obviously later in the spring. So that's kind of the main trend we're experiencing and expected to continue experiencing over the next few decades.
Now, without wanting to sound alarmist, I mean this from a genuine point of inquiry. Is it the case that human lives in Australia are going to be put at risk if this trajectory continues?
So it partly depends how we respond to the problem. We know that bushfire weather is getting worse. We're getting more extreme bushfire days. And we, of course, know that events like Black Saturday took more than 100 lives. We get very severe bushfire days more frequently than you might expect death tolls to rise. However, we are getting slightly better at preparing for bushfires. It's going to be harder, though, if the bushfire season starts earlier and earlier to prepare, just because it limits the time we can do these burn-offs ahead of the worst weather. So it's going to get harder, but if with good adaptation and good preparation practices in place, better possibly improving the way that people respond when they hear bushfire warnings, and improving the communication of those might mean that we can limit the impacts on human lives from this worsening of bushfire weather that we're experiencing.
Now, you're listening to 2SCR at the moment on the Monday Daily. My guest is Dr. Andrew King, a Climate Extremes Research Fellow at the University of Melbourne. Just finally, Andrew, I want to ask about the global warming temperature at the moment is 1 degree. It's increased by 1 degree. What will happen if this reaches the temperature that was agreed at the Paris Climate Agreement, which the US has declared it will pull out of, which was 1.5 degrees?
So we expect Australia's climate to get significantly warmer no matter what we do over the next decade or two in terms of greenhouse gas emission reductions. So if we do get to a 1.5 degree world, so another half a degree on top of our world of today, we are going to see more warm weather, warm extremes like this winter, and also hotter summer weather, of course, as well. But that's a very ambitious target, and to be honest, it's not something that most climate scientists think is achievable, because we're already at 1 degree, as you were saying, and we're accelerating towards this 1.5 degree level. It's more likely with the current plans for reductions in emissions that we're going to end up at above 2 degrees of global warming, and that has potential dire consequences. It's worth noting that Australia has its plan for 26 to 28% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions in line with the Paris targets. However, our emissions are still increasing at the moment. And even that 26 to 28% reduction isn't really commensurate with a 1.5 degree world. Obviously, it depends how different countries take on different levels of responsibility. But Australia is certainly not pulling its weight.
So, indeed. Thank you very much for joining the program, Andrew.
No worries. Thanks for having me.